Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church, Los Angeles, California.
And sitting high above Paris of the South, Ashford, North Carolina, I'm Zach Paris.
Paris of the South. You probably told me that before.
I have. It's because of, this is our French episode. In case our listeners are wondering, do I have that on the soundboard anymore? No, I changed it out for the NBA Jam sounds. The Vanderbilts built the Biltmore, which is a French chalet, the largest private residence in North America, though no one has ever actually lived in it, which is capitalism. That's America, baby. But built by French craftspeople who they imported from the French countryside to come and build a chalet here in Western North Carolina. Those craftspeople enjoyed it so much here in Western North Carolina, they stuck around. So we have all of these like buildings built during the kind of Gilded Age into the early 1900s, right up until the Depression, when things blew up real big here, built by these French craftspeople. So Paris of the South, a real thing. You get more this second most examples of Art Deco architecture. Asheville's number two in the country in terms of that architecture, behind only Miami, of course.
Wow. Well, I was not in Paris, but I was in the French Quarter.
Oh, oui, oui.
I did, Zach. I think we talked about this last time.
These craftspeople came from Old Orleans, and you in the newer version.
Old Orleans. So I went to this it's a super cool museum. It's called New Orleans, and it had like this map of the Mississippi and all of the various tributaries that it's connected to. And I found Asheville. Yeah. I found it. It's pretty wild, actually. Like, it was a crazy way they had this thing set up, but like to see all the different, like, that was crazy. It's just amazing. Yeah. Oh. So yeah, waterways. So yeah, I just got back from New Orleans. I did that. It's
how was the New Orleans?
Well, first of all, New Orleans is amazing. I hadn't been there in probably 11 years. It's pretty awesome. We should just do a Coachella weekend there sometime. There's like a lot.
They should get a music festival together.
There's just music everywhere. It's like a music festival every night. Like it's like it's wild. Like I couldn't. There's like Bourbon Street, which you don't really want to spend a lot of time on. But you get a little bit further away and there's jazz clubs, there's rock clubs, there's everything going on all the time. It was amazing to me. And it goes on super late at night and I'm a night owl. So it was fantastic. Fantastic Saturday. And I messed up the time zones for the podcast interview we were gonna do.
Now you see how difficult it is when you're in flyover country and you got to do time zone math both ways, forward and backwards. It's not so easy.
It was so tough. But I was doing a vinyl preacher thing. So this is what I was doing at that exact time and why I couldn't just run to the computer and jump on. Because I had walked for 41 minutes to get to a record store called Euclid Records. It was the record. I did a little research about what would be like a, it's like a good record store I should go to, you know?
A nod to the Greek mathematician, Euclidean.
Yeah, apparently they have this record store has a branch. Geometry.
Euclidean geometry.
It's apparently a chain with branches in St. Louis and New Orleans. That's interesting. I don't know. Maybe they're just on the Mississippi. It's just a whole, but I guess that's the Missouri. I don't know. Walked to this record store and it was super cool. They had the lyrics to U2's Pride in the Name of Love stapled to the front door because it was King weekend the week before. I was very impressed. It was just like, it was like somebody had like copied the lyrics from a website, pasted it into a Google Doc and printed it out like an Arial font. Like that was it. And I was like, this is, I respect this, you know, like this is great. Like no message, no like respect to Dr. Just for these lyrics. It's great. So then I go in the record store. I do a little walking around, some crazy, and there's like a second floor. I go up there, I'm checking stuff out. But what I really wanted was like, I really wanted to ask the person if they could recommend something. But it took me a good like 10 minutes to work up the courage.
Oh yeah.
To do it.
That's a scary, scary proposition.
But I did. And of course, like, they're very happy to recommend something to me. Like, if I worked at a record store, I would love to recommend stuff to people.
That's so why you would work there.
Right. So I said, hey, could you recommend something local and new? And he had a follow-up question. He said, well, what are you? Yeah, I can. What do you usually like to listen to? And I was like, well, like something rootsy probably, but also with some energy. And he was like, I got just the thing. And he took me over to another section and gave me this record from the Lost Bayou Ramblers, which had an amazing cover art. I'm all about the cover art. Gotta love the cover art. A great name, Lost Bayou Ramblers. And I was like, all right, that's what I'm doing. Thank you. And I bought it, but of course I couldn't listen to it till I got home. Could have just pulled it up on Spotify, but I thought it'd be way more fun to just let the needle drop.
You can't. Yeah.
See what this thing sounds like. It's great. It's like some Zydeco stuff, which I'm into. Like, I really enjoy it. It's great. Yeah. It's really good. It's all the lyrics are in French. So that's fun. But it was definitely a vinyl preacher adventure. And then as I was walking out of the record store, you texted me and I was like, oh no. I'm a 41 minute walk back to the hotel. So thank you for running with that interview, flying solo.
Absolutely. I got Jason Kirk all to myself. Keeping with the vinyl preacher, I think you've had a number of momentous encounters in the Crescent City, Matt, but there's one in particular that I'm eager to hear about.
Yeah, I haven't told you the story yet. So, I mean, I saw a lot of great people, you know. Shout out to colleagues like Joe and Emily. I talked to Yael Curry for a long time. That was really fun. Really, just some really great conversations. And then went out to dinner with some people, which if I started going back through the night and I was like, it was this one of these one thing led to another where I was like running late to a thing. And then I got invited to go with some people on this thing. So I was like, yeah, sure. I got nowhere else to be. And like, if I didn't go with that group, I would not have ended up at this restaurant, you know, 3 hours later, where I walk in and I did a double take because there, sitting in this restaurant nonchalantly with just one other person, was Anfernee Penny Hardaway.
The big one, right?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Penny Hardaway. So I do a double take. And of course I start just freaking out. What do I do? If this was any other, let me just a little bit of background on Penny Hardaway. Now, some people like know who that is. And some people don't know who that is. Like, for example, during my like period of freaking out, I like asked some of the like wait staff, like, hey, that's totally Penny Hardaway, right? And they'd be like, who? That definitely happened. But in my family, Zach, Penny Hardaway was my middle brother's favorite basketball player growing up. Like, we all loved Michael Jordan, but then we all had like a secondary player that was like our guy. Mine was Dan Marley. As faithful listeners of this podcast know, mine is Dan Marley. Youngest brother, Muggsy Bogues. You'd respect it. I mean, this was the 90s. Hornets were really, really cool. They were amazing. Yeah. But Greg's favorite, Penny Hardaway. Loved him so much. Loved Penny Hardaway. Had a jersey of Penny Hardaway. Grew up and named his daughter Penelope, and we call her Penny. This is how much he loves Penny Hardaway. Like, if this was any other celebrity, I could be like, oh, that's really cool. That's a story to tell. But this one, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the Bulls just had their Chicago Bulls just had their Ring of Honor. This is the Cadle family Ring of Honor right here. He'd be in the Ring of Honor. So I spend about 10 minutes. So here's the thing. I'm from Los Angeles. I know some celebrity etiquette. Right. I know you're not supposed to interrupt people when they're at dinner. Right. Like, this is like, you don't interrupt at dinner. Usually, like, if they're like feeling gracious, they'll probably be like, well, let me finish eating. And like, when I get ready to go, like, I'd be happy to, you know, whatever. So I'm like, all right. So I'm going to wait till he goes. The problem is they had us seated in another room of the restaurant. So I couldn't like watch him like a hawk to see when he was going to get up. But he didn't have his food yet. I did notice that he was not eating. He didn't have any food yet. So I knew it was going to be a little bit. We were getting our food at about the same time. So when I finished, then I started thinking of excuses to get up and like walk around the room So I went to the restroom. I got in line and ordered some cafe au lait. And I'm just like, you know, glancing over at him. He's got, I mean, this guy, texting my brothers the whole time, right? Like, what do I do? Like, what's going on? One of my brothers, my other brother said, just don't tell him that your brother named his daughter Penelope Penny, because he'll get a restraining order. Like, maybe don't mention that part. So I'm standing there, like, I'm waiting in line for my cafe au lait. He gets up to leave, and I follow him out the door. And I go, excuse me. Hey, I just want you to know you were my brother's favorite basketball player growing up. And I just want to thank you for bringing joy to his life. And he's like, oh, thank you, man. Thank you. And I said, do you think I could get a photo? Oh, sure. Somebody takes the photo for me. And that was it. Then there were a couple other people that clearly had the same idea and were like, yeah, you know, but just a couple people.
Yeah.
I do feel like the Holy Spirit was at work, because the night before, or two nights before, I happened to be at a bar and they had the Memphis game on. And I didn't realize that Penny was coaching Memphis. Like, I don't follow.
The coach of the University of Memphis, men's basketball team. I'm just looking at the results here. It's not good.
I didn't know that. But, you know, I'm watching TV. I'm like, is that Penny Hardaway? And is he wearing clothes with his logo on it instead of the Memphis logo? He totally was. So it was like the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Zach, was already preparing my brain to be able to recognize Penny Hardaway two nights later, right? Like,
yeah.
Because my brother was like, it's kind of weird. You just texted me about Penny Hardaway like two nights ago, and here and now he's right there. Yeah, it was because the Holy Spirit at work. It's the Holy Spirit at work. Lane, yeah. Yeah, he was playing Tulane the next day.
Not the American Athletic Conference scheduling.
So I did not. Then a lot of people gave me shit because I didn't tell them that, like, my brother named his daughter Penelope. But in my defense, it was a short conversation, and I didn't feel like that was something to spring on him, like, in the first 5 seconds. Like, maybe if we were, like, just happened to be at the same party and we're doing some small talk for a while, maybe you feel it out, you know, and you bring that up, like, after a while. But, like, hey, man, it's a dark alley. Let me just let you know that my brother, I feel like probably wouldn't have gone that well. But I got my photo, and I just, you know, I thanked him for his work. I felt like I was positive. I felt like I played it like an Angelino on the outside, you know, played it pretty well. On the inside was freaking out for a good 20 minutes. So, yeah, that was my night, Zach.
I think of you and these celebrity stories because that's my only – one time, I don't even remember when it was anymore. We went to a place. Oh gosh, where were we? We were in the Valley, some sort of restaurant for lunch, and fellow Lutheran Dan Aykroyd came into the restaurant with his parents.
That's right.
Yeah,
it was like a great restaurant. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and they sat in the back and stuff. Right, we didn't talk to him at all. But no. I was freaking out. Nobody else seemed to think it was a big deal that Dan Aykroyd was there.
Oh yeah, Dan Aykroyd.
Brett is just like, oh yeah, he does like Greek and alien conspiracies and vodka.
That's my story.
They lost to Tulane. It looks like that's not good.
Yeah, it was the night before. It was the night before the loss. So I didn't. I don't know. I did tell him good luck tomorrow, but I don't think he heard me. He was moving on. He did not want to have a long conversation with me, even though he was willing to take a photo. I'm deeply grateful.
Yeah, that's great. That's all you want of a post restaurant ambush with a line of people behind you. I'm glad you got to the. You were at the front of the line. It sounds like so. Good job.
I was like, yeah. I was talking to somebody. And I was like, excuse me. And I just like ran out. It was pretty great.
Makes me very happy, man.
That definitely happened. So yeah, well, that was the E. I don't know. I guess there were some speakers and stuff at the conference as well, but those were the main things that happened. I got a record and I met Penny Hardaway.
I will stand on my we have greatly inflated the importance of speakers at conferences. It is very unimportant.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It's interesting. I was feeling kind of, you know, in praise of the E, I was feeling pretty grumpy at the start because I was like, I signed up for this thing. I don't know if I really.
Thanks for keeping that up for me.
You know, it's just. But then it was good. It was good to just like be in a giant hotel with a bunch of people, yeah. Be able to connect, you know, like, hey, you got dinner plans, and then like connect about what's going on. Oh, those are all good things.
That stuff's the best part. And I think we should be able to say that it's okay that is the good part. You gotta dress it up all the time. Be like, oh, well, we got a speaker. You're really going to want to come see the speaker. I mean, that's all that like the speakers really exist to do is to sell tickets to whatever it is. But it's okay to hang out like, especially I did this recently on my trip to Port City, Matt, because I work in my professional environment out of an office that I don't in a city I don't live in. Right. So we communicate all the time. Right. We got the Teams and the Zooms and all that kind of stuff, but we never see each other. I never see them in person until I went down and get to see all these people that I've heard about and have heard on calls and talked to and stuff. Right. And that's a different kind of knowing thing and is important to human relationship and our mutual thriving.
Indeed. Indeed it is. So I'm glad I went. And yeah, look forward to talking more about New Orleans this year as we prepare for the 2024 ELCA Youth Gathering. You should be a sponsor, Youth Gathering.
Yeah. You also should get a cooler house band. Or at least augment it with some interesting instrumentation. That's all I'm saying.
Oh wow, is that are you trying to get the house band leader to call? We don't know who the house band leader is at this point. I don't think there's been any official announcements, so we can't.
We're just speaking
at this point.
That's correct.
I don't know, is there a banjo and can we get some, is this some Cajun I mean, if you had like a fiddle, I think maybe like a violin you could.
Yeah, come on, we've gone over this a number of times. The banjo is it fits very easily into the New Orleans music scene. But
in greater Louisiana. I don't know how I didn't realize that Cajun comes from Acadian. I learned that this weekend. Acadian. The Cajuns.
In the ancient Near East?
No, like, it's like from Canada.
From Canada? Right? Got the Acadian Empire.
Like the French Acadia was a colony of New France in northeastern North America. So then there's like, I don't know if they're like refugees. I don't know. Got to do some more research. Anyway, that's where Cajun comes from. The Cajuns.
That tells you exactly what kind of nerd I am that I was like, oh, like the Acadian Empire in the 8th century BCE. I think it's pre-BC, 8th century. Late 24th. Oh. Yeah, it's super old. 24th century BCE. Anyway, that's why. Yeah. I told Jason, I don't think this was recorded. He was like, yeah, your outline, like, seems like you guys are doing a really neat thing here. And I was like, yeah, we're trying to make the internet's nichiest podcast. Thanks for helping us with that. We go Penny Hardaway fan sighting to 24th century BCE Acadian Empire. Well, Matt, let's keep it swinging to these weird places that only this podcast is willing to go.
Let's do it. What do we got? Isaiah 40?
Isaiah 40. Just jumping around in that dusty old book.
40:21. Or 21 to 31. This is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Isaiah says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host in numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. That's a good one.
Yeah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles. Oh, I should have told my music team. I gotta sing that song.
And not be weary. Are you back on the lectionary?
We are. Because it's way
Welcome
easier
back
to celebrate
to the
insert.
World of righteous.
Yeah, although Sanctified are just doing something different for Lent again, which I'm a little bummed about. Not for creative reasons, which I respect the creativity, but just because it's way easier for me to just use the celebrate insert. It's like 8 billion times easier. Anyway, I'm on the lectionary today, Isaiah 40.
Oh, I like it, Matt.
What do you think? What's it doing? I mean, we're in sort of this complimentary series, so it's going to, I guess, have something to say about Mark. It feels a little bit like God speaking from the whirlwind in Job. It's a little bit, some echoes of that, some faint traces of that going on.
If I had to place it, I would guess, and this is purely my guess, that it's third Isaiah. Is that right? No, I'd say second Isaiah. So written to people in exile about how good the promise is and how things will be good again one day. And so like you can read it, I think, as a bit of that, like got out of the whirlwind. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? But it's more, I think, over and against the situation that they're in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you fearing more your captivity than, why are you holding that your captivity in a higher regard than the promise of God, the covenant? I think is the context.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's a powerful way to look at it.
And then it's just, I think, you know, second Isaiah is don't worry, be happy. It's the general, that's how you can identify it, right? If it does, if it has don't worry, be happy.
Bobby McFerrin vibes, yeah.
Bobby McFerrin singing to people who need to hear Bobby McFerrin sing.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
But you could take it the other way, right? Like, I mean, that's Bobby McFerrin singing to the people who need to hear Bobby McFerrin. But if you identify that your context might have some folks who are more on the side of the cap tours than those in captivity, I think you can, and you could probably, preaching-wise, play it and hear it on both sides of that because your context is probably not in captivity in Babylon currently, fully, and probably not fully a foreign oppressor. So they probably got a little bit of both going on.
Yeah.
Because it does that nice thing of like the promise is also like the law is the other side of the gospel, but it's the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you could do like, you could do some macro stuff around the powers. The various powers of the world, however you want to, whatever specific powers you want to name for your community, you could do some macro stuff there. And you could also do like some deeply human personal stuff because we get this weariness, right? Even the young will fall exhausted. Who has not been exhausted? There's a relatable feeling. So
yeah.
I think there's some ways to really pull together some pretty universal feelings and then tie them into some macro stuff if you wanted to go that route. I think it's a very encouraging.
Like the grasshoppers. Yeah.
Yeah, we could do, be you know, fun to do like a whole like series on on the insects. You do grasshoppers, you know, which the candle wax, which the bees, your servants have made. I mean, you could do like just do an insect Siri.
But wait for the summer. That's what we'll do, Matt, because they're saying it's going to be a double cicada season.
Oh my gosh, the cicadas.
Because they are two different, like, essentially two different broods of cicadas that are on, one's on 13 years and one's on 17 year cycle. And they sync up every now and then.
Wow.
Because it's a way that they, it's a safety thing, right? Like, to not have it all happen at once, but it will all happen at once.
Sure.
So if it all gets bad, it'd be real bad for cicadas, but we're going to see a lot of them this summer.
I'm guessing you're in a place where there are going to be a lot of cicadas.
Actually, Matt, only one type of the cicadas is really prevalent in West North Carolina. They're more in the upper Midwest, in the Midwest, actually, the other.
I was thinking trees, greenery.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. More the upper Midwest. I remember from growing up, we had cicadas all the time. Definitely a thing. I don't know that we get them quite as much here in the weird.
I didn't remember them growing up, but it was pretty cool when I, because I care about the environment, I cut the sod out of my front lawn in Colorado zero-scaped it, right?
Yeah.
And when I did, because it cuts the grass out, right, the turf, I destroyed cicadas because they were all buried down in there, but you don't know, right? And they're just like some, like half cicada bodies and stuff.
Wow. That's crazy. Well,
they did not get the memo about zero escaping.
They did not. Let's look at this gospel text.
Matt, finally we're through with the first chapter. Wait, nope. No, we're still in the first chapter. And I think we got a little ways to go still before we get out of it. Right. Yep. We got two more episodes after this before we get to the finale of the first chapter.
Yeah. Although in the lectionary, next week is Transfiguration, so you can get it cut it out. Yeah. It's crazy. Mark 1.
Good news, we're keeping these three stories together. We talked about it. Jesus calls the disciples. Last week, Jesus is in the synagogue at Capernaum, casting out an unclean spirit of a sickish human. And here, immediately after that, these three stories all hit in a row. After Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. They took attendance every time they went into a room. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told her about it at once. They told him about her at once. And Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. How high do you think he lifted her, Matt? Like, you got to go above the head? Or just in his arms, right? Then the fever left her. It was the lifting up here. And she began to serve him. And that evening, at sundown, they brought him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because, remember this from last week, Matt, they knew him. They knew who he was. And Jesus is not letting the word get out about who he is yet. And in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And Jesus said, "Don't care. Let us go on to the neighboring town. I'm to proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The good news of the demon slayer, Jesus.
Yeah, good news of Demon Slayer Jesus. Praise to you, O Christ. I think this was the text that inspired our Wake, Pray, Slay teachers.
I think you're right. You are right, yeah.
In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up, went out to a deserted place. There he prayed, and then he went out and he cast out demons. That's really good shirt.
Yeah.
It's really
good. That was such a good shirt.
Oh, not to pat ourselves on the back, but, you know.
Yeah, we did some amazing stuff 5 years ago.
Oh my goodness. It's a good, I like this text because, I mean, you get a healing, you get the demon possession, they're saying all that. But then he also does this weird thing where he just like leaves them, which that's a surprising.
One of the things we talked about, Jason, is we talked about deconstruction, right? Because that's a part of what he did in the book. He had to do it with his own experience because he grew up, you know, in an evangelical kind of world in the early aughts, late 90s. And that getting to a place of having to write that novel required deconstruction, but that always the hard part. The deconstruction is for a purpose, right? Like it, there's a, you know, liminal third way that it moves us. We don't deconstruct, like, it's not usually very helpful to just deconstruct and then look at all the parts on the ground and walk away, right? But that it moves us to another thing. And for him, that was the novel. Here, I think you get that note hits a couple places, right? One, the mother-in-law, Simon's mother-in-law, who I can only assume lived in an ADU, fully licensed, yeah, and built.
Right.
If you knew about it, permitted, mother-in-law apartment. Simon's mother-in-law gets healed miraculously. Jesus has been on a lot of military presses. He lifts her up above his head as high as he can. The fever leaves her. And she began to serve them, right? Like it, she has the healing is for a purpose. It's for a reason. The deconstruction, the destruction of the fever is for this continuing movement for this other thing. Similarly, Jesus, right, has got to keep it moving, for his own safety. If you want to go down that road for the ancient Near East, like hanging around disrupting society like this, not a great idea. You got to keep it moving. But also because the thing he's doing requires, this is not for Capernaum, right? This is for the world. This is for this bigger thing, this other thing. So we got to keep this thing moving. So Jesus doesn't do much active listening here, but he leans much more heavily into that for a larger movement, goal, what have you.
Yeah. Yeah. I also wonder about the, putting this text in conversation with that Isaiah text, or at least with that Isaiah text and kind of the background, you get some of that macro, that movement stuff. It also makes you think, like, I mean, if this is like, gives power to the faint, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. I mean, is that Simon's mother-in-law? Is this the, like, there's this specific person who's the mother-in-law, but is the mother-in-law also like representative of a tradition that feels tired, a people who are tired for a whole number?
You get both of them in these stories, right? You get the mother-in-law and then you get the whole town.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's happening to this one person, but it's also happening to the whole city. These people. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I like this text. I like it a lot. I feel like
I'm struck by the sundown part of the story. Hmm. I think the time stuff is always interesting when the text lifts up time, because they didn't have watches, right? Mm-hmm. So they're a little less attuned to time in the way that we might. And so I was first like, what is sundown? Does he just mark in like Jesus has done all this in one day? He did the Capernaum thing. They went here. They did this. Like, he's so busy. But I think I got another hypothesis here, Matt, that Jesus does all this healing. The whole town's gathered, casts out all these demons. He does it in the dark. He does it at night, Matt, which I think is the fulfillment of these like three stories. He's becoming a real social deviant, because you don't hang out outside at night, right? So hanging around at night, being a person out in the dark, means you're a bad guy, up to bad guy things. And that's what Jesus is doing. And Jesus, it seems, or you're scared of the dark. Because there are bad things out there in it that you can't see or control. Jesus' power is growing, is being revealed as someone who is not afraid of the things that are out in the dark. And in fact, the things that are in the dark are things not to be feared, but are miraculous healings, and all like good stuff, right? Instead of bad stuff. The big flip there that I think makes good fodder for good news.
Yeah. Yeah, and that phrase, like, while it was still very dark, I was like, I know that phrase, and it's from one of the resurrection texts, right? Unfortunately, I don't think it's from Mark, but I think it's from that John text that we also get at Easter, right? Where it's still very dark, and then something happens. So, yeah, there's definitely, whew, a lot going on.
Boom. Shakalaka, preacher Advent, you know, your Advent winter darkness sermon here. Jesus changes darkness. Good stuff's out there.
It's still not daylight savings yet, but.
Goodness gracious, let's have the sun come up occasionally.
Well, what are we listening to?
I got good stuff, Matt. I'm intrigued by the grasshoppers. You want to go, talking about going macro, talking about going micro. What's more micro than a grasshopper, Matt? It's said on one hand here in the Isaiah, and its inhabitants, the earth's inhabitants, are like grasshoppers to the Lord, which makes humans seem small. But I think you can also read it in like God is like cares about and has a covenant with grasshoppers. That's how absurd this covenant of God is. Like God makes promises with the grasshoppers, which is quite the thing. Turns out the mamas and the papas, they got together and they made a band. And it's got a song, they've got a song called Grasshopper, Matt. I haven't really listened to it. I hope it's great, but I put it on the playlist. Then we got Fever and, you know, a bunch of different Peggy Lees. Maybe you're going to put a Peggy Lee on here with Fever. But I'm going with Dua Lipa. Has a Fever song off of that, the Dua Lipa album that's so good. And finally, Kevin Morby, longtime romantic partner of Katie Crutchfield of Waxahachie. He's a musician in his own right, and he's got a track called Sundowner. I like the sun going down here, so check out Sundowner by Kevin Morby.
Fantastic. Nice. I'm impressed with your knowledge of the various relationships of the members of Waxahachie.
It's very important for me to keep up with the romantic relationships of the indie music scene.
Yeah. Yeah, little note back. Zach actually has a zine where he just tracks the romantic relationships of the indie music scene.
I produced a zine that is essentially cool. The Bachelor just for the indie music scene.
What is it called? It's not the Golden Bachelor. It's the...
it's the Depressed Bachelor.
What's the most indie metal that we could... I don't know. All right. Well, what have I got? I'll put on a song from that record that I bought at Euclid Records in New Orleans. Thank you to the clerk whose name I didn't learn. But I appreciate you. Euclid Records
staff.
What
was scarier, Matt? Was it scarier to talk to the clerk of the record store or Penny Hardaway?
Oh, yeah, they were neck and neck. I don't know if I could. I don't know. Both pretty frightening, but
hopefully you didn't mess up your signals and tell the guy at the record store that your brother named his child after.
Yeah. didn't do that. So the Lost, I have a Los in here, the Lost Bayou Ramblers, which again, great name for a band, Lost Bayou Ramblers, with the opening song on Kalenda, which is the album that I have. It's called Sabine Turnaround, and it is just some Zydeco wonderfulness. Recommend it. Really good stuff. And then I also went to Preservation Hall in New Orleans one night and heard a band, and they did a song that I think fits this text because, you know, they don't tell us what Simon's mother-in-law's name is. They don't tell us, but I'm just assuming that as soon as she got up, Jesus said, "Well, hello, Dolly. You're looking swell. You're looking swell. It's so nice to have you back where you belong. You're looking swell, Dolly. I can tell. Dolly, you're still glowing. You're still crowing. You're still going strong." I'm assuming her name was Dolly. So we're going to put on Hello, Dolly from Louis Armstrong, the great Louis Armstrong. And then finally, we talked about this stuff taking place at night, late in the evening, as the sun was going down. So I'm going to put on Late in the Evening by Voices of the Wetlands and Cyril Neville, another song from New Orleans. It's my New Orleans playlist this week.
I like it. Matt, I haven't been able to figure out how to shoehorn it into a playlist yet, but do you see, you know, Dolly Parton's doing these, like, whatever this album is with, like, rock stars or what it's like, something like that. Did you see she did a version of Jolene with Måneskin?
No.
Yes. It's not very good, but it's really interesting that Måneskin, Eurovision champions, and Dolly now evidently do stuff together.
That's great. Well, that's the app. That's our playlist. It's been real.
Real vinyl.